Hello! Welcome to the debut episode of Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola, the podcast, the Fallout podcast based off the television series Fallout from Amazon Plus, the television station or streaming service, whatever you prefer to call it. We are here to discuss weekly each episode of the television series. The television series was dropped completely in one shot. So, in other words, the entire season on April 10th, 2024 on Amazon Prime Video. But what we're going to do is discuss one episode per week until we finish season one. We did that with the One Piece television series with Boa Hancock and the One Piece podcast, where that was dropped as well by Netflix. And we did an episode per week when that came out, and we're going to do the same thing here. So who are we? First off, I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. I'm recovering from my cold, and a couple days from now, Taylor Swift's new album's coming out, so it's generally pretty good. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you, sir?
I am doing okay.
All right, very well. And in the state of Missouri?
Hi, this is Kevin.
Kevin, how are you, sir?
Actually, like you, I'm also getting over a cold. It kind of hit me for about 4 days. I'm finally going back to work tomorrow.
Very well. Yeah, but my wife even said, you may have COVID, who knows? And it's like, you know, you never know. But I didn't test or anything. I just assumed I had a cold.
This one did not knock me out as like the COVID did. So I don't think it's COVID.
Gotcha. And in the province of Alberta, Canada?
Hey, Sean. It's Sean, everyone. Hope you're doing well.
Indeed, indeed. And hopefully you are as well, Sean. All right, so who are we? We are part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. It's a website that hosts numerous podcasts, specifically the Dark Discussions podcast, which is a weekly podcast that talks about horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and so forth type of films, thrillers, and whatnot. That comes out weekly. The next episode for that will be Dune. So by the time you hear this, Dune will be out. Dune 2 will be out at around the same proximity. This feed, or I should say this podcast here, can be found on two feeds. You'll definitely be able to find it on Dark Discussions podcast feed immediately. And then the other feed, which is a standalone feed, is Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola podcast feed, the Fallout podcast. That will be available once it goes through with Apple and Google. Well, Google Play is gone. So Apple and Spotify and whatnot, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find that feed within the next, I would say, 48 hours by the time you're hearing this, if you haven't found it already there. So the Dark Discussions podcast feed basically includes all the co-hosts that you hear on this podcast. The other podcasts they do as well, specifically the Dark Discussions podcast, as well as all the spinoff podcasts, which you could say this is a spinoff podcast of the Dark Discussions podcast. Excuse me, I had to cough there. I had to go on mute because I'm recovering from the cold. So that's pretty much who we are. We do have an email, which is darkdiscussions@aol.com. If you want to email this podcast here, just make sure to put in the subject Fallout, and then after that, whatever your subject is, and then we will read your email on this podcast here. So if you have your opinions on the TV show, the video game, this franchise, the series, anything, email us, Fallout, and then the subject, and we will read your email on the podcast. Also, we have a Dark Discussions podcast Facebook group where you can go and join in the conversation for any topic that is genre-related, whether it's horror films, this TV show, video games like Fallout or Baldur's Gate and whatever else, comic books and so forth. We do have the website, as I said before, darkdiscussions.com. And Sean, what else can people find on www.darkdiscussions.com?
They can also find the link for Patreon, which is a way that people can support their favorite creators. So you click on the link, go to Patreon, and basically it's a way to financially support us so that we can keep doing this. There's basically a bunch of behind-the-scenes costs and expenses to keep this going, even though the podcast itself, all of them within the umbrella, are released free on whatever major podcast provider you're listening this on from. But yes, there's a bunch of expenses behind the scenes, and so anything you can provide financially is appreciated. Even a dollar a month helps, makes a difference for us. If you're able to do $5 a month or more, or for every $5 a month that you're able to donate, you will then get to pick a movie that can go into a draw every quarter. That can be, if it's picked, be drawn and actually done as an episode for review, whether it's on the Dark Discussions main feed or one of the sister podcasts, depending where it falls genre-wise. Understanding the financial times as they are, if you can't financially donate anything, we do appreciate and understand that, but you can still help us by sharing the podcast and info on your different social media platforms that you're on. And anything like that helps us, and just downloading every week. And that gives us the chance to keep doing this. So thank you for your support in whichever way you're able to provide it.
Indeed, indeed. Anything is appreciated. We do this without commercials or fees. So it's basically a free, quote-unquote, radio show without commercials, NPR, if you prefer. But any donations that you would like to donate would be great. And also, though we do not have any paid spots, we are always willing to do so. If you have a brand or something that you want to sell, or another podcast or a book or a product, and it's a fine thing, we will do a commercial and read it on the podcast. And we also can put advertisements on the website as well. All right, so that's pretty much the house cleaning. Today is April 16th, 2024. We're starting to record episodes every Monday, I mean every Tuesday night, and probably have them released on Thursdays because of inability to be home on Wednesdays, as that's the day I go into the office. Look out for each episode, usually Thursdays mornings before noon hour on Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I guess we can get into, our review and our discussion of, episode one. Tonight we'll be talking about the episode, our opinions, maybe our knowledge of the games and whatnot. Do we know, did we go in blind, or are we familiar with the franchise and things of that nature? So let's go around the room and discuss. Oh, and we'll be very spoilery. We're going to say a lot of spoilers because we're assuming if you're listening to this podcast, you're a fan of the show or a hate watcher of the show, and you want to hear other opinions, so basically podcasters' opinions. All right, so let's go around the room and discuss our feelings for episode one. And we usually randomly switch it up each week. And recently on the other podcast, I have not even gone first for a long time, so I'll go first. I watched the episode at lunchtime today break from work, and just watched the first episode. I went in blind. I hadn't seen the commercials or anything. I'd seen a couple of pictures, still shots from, you know, advertisements, and then the only reason I even knew the show had come out was they had an ad on, I think it was MLB.com or No, it was Flixster. It was Flixster.com because I was buying, going to go see the first Omen, and that movie, and there was an ad for Fallout, and I was like, oh, it's there. So I was very worried because I thought it was going to be kind of schlocky because they could have gone that way if they wanted to. But I have to say that they did not go that way. They played this pretty seriously. And if you're a fan of the video games, had a lot of fan service. And I will have to say that the first episode, the only episode I've watched, was absolutely fantastic. This is a great first episode, possibly a great show based off of what critics have been writing. The show is run by Jonathan Nolan and his wife Lisa, as well as bringing in one of the creators or producers of Bethesda Studios, Todd Howard, as one of the executive producers as well. Even though the showrunners are Graham Wagner and Genevieve Robertson Dworit, they were actually hired by Nolan. So this is really Nolan's show, and he directed the first three episodes. And for folks who don't know, Jonathan Nolan is the brother of Christopher Nolan, written many of his films, and also was the showrunner for Westworld.
The CBS show he did?
Person
of Interest?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great show. I love that show.
Yeah. So he's pretty talented too, just like his brother.
Well, that explains the one guy that's going to be in there, the one guy that they're looking for, because he was on Person of Interest.
The guy
as well.
From Lost. Yeah, he was on Person of Interest, and he was on Lost. Yep.
He's also in the TV show Evil. And
yep.
He's a nasty guy in that one. But
what's the actor's name?
Oh, good grief! I don't know.
Michael Emerson.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So. All right, so that's my I'm a big fan of the video games. I've played Fallout 4 like 10 times in the past whatever years it's been released to the end. And I've also played Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. So I'm a big fan of the series. I did not play Fallout 76, I think it's called, because I heard that is a multiplayer game and not a regular shooter or adventure game, so I had skipped that one. But which is unfortunate, because it would have been kind of cool to play in West Virginia, just outside of DC and whatnot. But anyway, I do hear there's a new update for Fallout 4 that just came out too, so I'll have to check that out. All right, let's go with you, Mike, because I know you're a person that's played the games as well.
Yeah. I played Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas 10 years ago, maybe. It's been a while. I did not play Fallout 4. It's something that's on my list of things to be played. It's just I was going to actually start playing it, but I fell behind on my video games, and it's honestly because it's cheaper. You know, because you eventually get the Game of the Year edition for $30 on Black Friday that has all the downloadable content. And there's so many games, and as an adult with a job, and it's hard to find time to do it all. So anyway, I figured I'd just wait. And then I was going to play it about a year ago, and then they announced, oh, we're going to be doing the special edition of Fallout 4. I was like, all right, well, I'll just wait. So I waited. And that brings me to here. So I have not played Fallout 4. I know the little bit about it, not a lot. Like, I know that there's a dog, and spoiler warning, if you have not seen the trailers, there is a dog that will eventually pop up in this show. Whether it is the same dog or not, I have no idea.
Yeah, but there is a dog. The dog's name in Fallout 4 was called Meat something. I don't know. I'll get it. But anyway, continue, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I really am enjoying the show. I actually just watched episode 2 before we started, because
Dark Meat. That's what it was called. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But anyway, I've got a senior class trip that's going to be occupying my time until Friday, until Monday, and record on Tuesday. So I'm not sure if I'm going to have much time to watch episode two between now and then. So I watched it prematurely, but no spoilers. But just referring to episode one, I like it a lot. I think that Fallout has a very unique vibe. It's sort of a retro apocalypse future vibe. It's got a sense of humor to it that I think they capture well. I think they capture the spirit of the game. They certainly get the tone of it. It can be cheesy. It can be scary. It can be profound. It can be a lot of different things. It's depending on how you play the game. And I think one of the big advantages this has is that there it is not a single character game, right? It is not Halo. It is not Last of Us. It is not, one of these series, in that it's more of a world rather than something that follows a single character. You create your character in the game, which means you don't have to worry about casting someone that fits a preconceived notion as to, say, who Master Chief is, or who Mario is, or who Link is, depending on, you know, your video game of choice. And so that's a big advantage. I think having someone involved from Bethesda helped a lot. We reviewed recently the Halo TV series, and I referred to cookies, you know, Easter eggs, things from the game. And this is loaded with it to the point where it's not really cookies. It's just setting the game, the show in the game, which is what a radical concept of basing the video game, the TV video game on the video game. But yeah, I like it a lot. I really like the cast. I really like the set design and the music, and just everything is top notch. I would not have dropped everything all at once. That is, doesn't matter to me. I can binge with the best of them. This feels like a show that really could use, building of anticipation and people talking about it on a week to week basis. And I do kind of worry when you drop something all at once that it's going to get lost in the shuffle, because people talk about it for a couple of days. Oh, did you see Fallout? And then a week later, nobody's talking about it anymore. And us doing this will hopefully rectify that and give you a reason to keep talking about it for, what is it, the next 7 weeks? Is it an 8-episode show?
Yeah, yeah. I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep. So...
8-episode, yeah.
So, yeah, I like it, and I recommend it, and I look forward to talking about it. Unlike just about every other TV show that Dark Discussion covered.
Yeah, but we've had some duds, that's for sure. Yeah, unfortunately, I think we've had maybe 4 or 5 good ones, and then like 10 terrible ones. Let's go with you, Sean. What do you got? Sean, have you played the games and all that, and then go on with your review?
So I played a little bit of the games. I'm more like a little bit more familiar with the story. I think the story and stuff is really cool and kitschy and fun. I have friends who were like very much into it. Like once the Halo stuff kind of went off, they were very much into the Fallout stuff. So I just know good things about it. Coming into this series, especially just coming off of the Halo series where I was not enjoying watching it, this first episode, I ended up watching the series, but we're doing it episodically, so that's cool. I absolutely loved it. I love the quality. I love the fact that, as Mike said, for some weird reason, they actually follow their source material, which is such a crazy idea. But they do it so well. And it's not like it could come off, you know, with just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It could have been something else, but they like hit it spot on. And I just love the effort put in, special effects, musical choices, the cast. Like, I can't be more glowing at this point about just how fun it was watching this and looking forward to being able to chat and discuss everyone else's perspectives on that. But for the first episode, great, great way to bring us into the universe and get us going on the ground, like hitting the ground kind of thing. So, I love it.
All right, sounds good. Let's go here, Kevin Lutz.
Yes, I am going in completely blind. I've heard of the game. I have never played the game. I just know that it's something somewhat post-apocalyptic. You see the picture of the cartoon figure with the thumb up, and that's about it. I know about the wrist computer. I've seen them. Like, I think I've seen cosplayers have them, and I think I've seen them sold online, replica, prop type things sold online. But other than that, I think I'm probably the one going in the most blind to this show, just seeing it all afresh. So I don't get the game references or anything like that, or if they're doing Easter eggs or anything like that, I wouldn't be able to recognize any of it. So I like the show. I thought it was good. A couple people I recognized, and talking of Dune, you had the main character, the actor who is the main character from the 1980s Dune. He's in that. He's the father. And I just thought it was good. It had adventure. It had it showed some interesting, how should I say it, class conflicts, and even just how people can be when disaster hits, where one minute they're your best friend, the next minute you're punching them in the face.
All right. Anything else?
Watch it. It's worth the time. I mean, I've only seen episode one. I'm not going to do a one piece and watch the whole thing and then try to remember where one episode left off and the other one began and jump ahead of myself. But yes, please watch it. It's well worth. If you like survival type shows, this is a fun one.
All right, sounds good. So you've only watched the one episode then, is that right?
Correct.
All right, sounds good.
I almost watched this one today, but I figured, no, I'll wait.
All right, sounds good. Let's go view Barrett.
Yeah, I've played the Fallout games a little bit, probably not as much as Mike or you, but so I'm familiar with some of the things. I thought this was a really, really good episode, a really great opener. Opened us up to what the world is going to be like and to a couple of the characters or a few of the characters that are going to be the major players in the show. It was smart, fun, and didn't take itself too seriously. You could feel the video game in it, but it wasn't like it was stuck in that. So, yeah, I give it an A+. I think they're doing a great job. We'll see what the next episode brings. I'm hopeful, considering the first one was this good.
All right, sounds good. So, I know, Sean, you watched either most of it or all the shows.
All of it, yeah.
Mike, did you say that you've only watched one episode, or have you watched more than one?
First two.
Gotcha. All right, sounds good. All right, so I think that's pretty much it. So that's our review, our thoughts. So it appears that we all enjoyed the first episode a whole lot, both those who aren't familiar with the game as well as those who enjoy the game a lot. So it's, and as Mike mentioned, it is always good that Todd Howard, the guy that directed Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 for Bethesda, and is basically one of their big shots over there, was brought on as one of the executive producers as well. Yeah, go on, Mike.
I do want to say something that came up when we were doing the Halo podcast, the Halo TV show podcast. Same thing with Last of Us. there's definitely a benefit for somebody like Kevin who has not seen the property before. Because fan service, Easter eggs, things like that can often go a long way to covering up fundamental flaws in a show or a movie. Right? Because if people go, oh, I know that. I'll use like an example of this, the movie Alien vs. Predator, which is not a good movie. But I will still admit to speaking out a little bit the first time you have both a live Alien and live Predator on screen together. I was like, ah, the thing I've been wanting for 20 years. It paves over some of the rough spots. But having someone with fresh eyes, if a show is really good, genuinely good, and not just fan service or a movie, it needs to be able to work for fresh eyes and fresh audiences and have a fresh take. So, again, I think everybody having a different perspective and different experience. And, you know, like, I don't know how much this is going to draw from Fallout 4 versus Fallout 3 and the whole series of games and how much of it's going to be new. So the fact that I think we all have a different perspective on it, a different experience with it, I think that's going to be a benefit. That's my take.
Yep, I would concur. I also, I feel that the enjoyment that someone like Kevin, who's not familiar with the franchise, and the enjoyment of myself, just using him and I as examples, shows you that they paid tribute and followed the game quite well, while also making a great science fiction post-apocalyptic alternate 1950s style tech, you know, Jetson type thing that someone like Kevin can enjoy as something fresh. So, they've done a great job, no doubt about it.
I've heard the term retrofuturism before, which I think which refers to, like, if you're making a futuristic movie set hypothetically in the future, but it's the future that they envision, you know, in the 40s, that maybe is a higher, more of an Art Deco look, or the 50s that gives it more of a Jetson-y look. And the film starts, I think, TV show starts, I think, like sometime in the 50s or 60s.
Yep.
It certainly from, has that. From the clothing, from the music, it was definitely a late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
Time.
That's what the video game creators have always said. It takes place in an alternate 1950, late 50s, early 60s type of world where robots and sci-fi Jetson type stuff is there without the outer space. And then, boom, a nuclear war happens caused by China. I don't know if they'll have that in the TV series, though. But
oh, it was China? Because right, I thought it was Russia.
No, it's China in the games.
No, I meant in the TV show.
Oh, they changed it then. All right, yeah.
No, they didn't say who it was.
Yeah, oh, I didn't think they said who it was.
There is a shot, I think, in the second episode, and this is where I'm afraid I might get bleed, because I watched episode one last night and episode two tonight. There is a shot of, I think, a Russian satellite that's crashed. So you see, a Soviet satellite that's crashed. Right. But it doesn't really necessarily matter much who started the war. But the point is a lot of stuff. So the music is all – I don't think I hear – like you don't even hear like classic rock and roll. You hear like
well,
a lot
it,
of
– Well,
you
it basically heard appears to
– Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say it appears to like the nuclear war happens after the 50s or around the 50s, 60s. So time kind of stops at that point. And it's an alternate future.
Right.
Well, it's an alternate past slash present as well. It's
right.
Like retro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying future from the 50s, 60s.
Right, exactly.
Not our
current
day.
Well, I mean, if what happens, considering the fact that civilization ended, technically speaking, on, you know, in the 50s. Because, I mean, when you were listening to the music, I mean, I heard Nat King Cole and other people who were very well known and well liked and well listened to in the late 50s, early 60s. And it kind of makes sense that when they move forward, they just went with what they knew. And so that's why their clothing was kind of a futuristic 50s look. The projector that they used to project the nice planes and all that had a 50s, early 60s look to it.
Which and, is intentional. That,
well, exactly. Yeah. Like I said, that's what they knew. And they didn't really have time to develop culturally or develop, like they didn't have a cultural revolution. They didn't have the hippie movement or anything like that. All they had was, we got to survive. We got to build up. We've got to, I'm sure they developed technologically, but then after a while, it's obvious they were all wearing the same clothes.
Right. And when I talk like when there's music from the 40s and 50s and maybe even some from creeping into the 60s, it is the music that not my parents would have listened to, which would have been like, starting with Elvis and Chuck Berry and that. It's what my grandparents would have been listening to in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Right. Like you said, Nat King Cole.
The
funny part is I listen to that stuff now.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot. Like I listen to Nat King Cole and a lot of the people from that time.
Right. Evergreen's Evergreen, but I think a lot of it's probably, I'm guessing, is singing tone, but I also imagine a lot of it is just the fact that it was cheaper to get the rights to some of these songs than if they tried getting, say...
They had Johnny Cash.
Johnny
Cash. Johnny Cash was all the songs that were played during the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yep.
Stuff.
Hearing that was awesome.
Yeah, Johnny Cash.
Well, Johnny Cash is awesome, so makes sense.
Yeah, damn right.
Their good choice of music is what was really cool. Like you could tell they really put an effort into the song that they were playing against the scene they were playing it with.
Right, and it's retro music as well, classic music as well, whether it's country or otherwise.
It's all stuff out of the games. The games, at least Fallout 3, since Fallout 3, I don't know about Fallout 2 or earlier, Fallout 3 was using, and New Vegas was using that music from that era, those eras.
Yeah, Fallout 4 as well.
Yeah. I know Fallout 4 was. It's just become part of the soundtrack to the game. And so, like, I know one of the complaints, pardon me for keeping going back there, but one of the complaints some people had with Halo was that they don't use the Halo music in Halo.
Right.
Well, this is
terrible.
It does not make it good. But what it is doing is helping you get into that world. It is telling the fans that, hey, we want to immerse you in the world that you know and that you're familiar with. And on that level, it's good. And it also means that if you are someone who watches the show and you've never played the game, if you then say, hey, let me try this game, you're going to be like, it's going to feel familiar to you as well. And I think that works well because Fallout works in a way, it's a lot like a tabletop role-playing game, you know, where you have a setting. And you pretty much are given what you want to do. You have all these sorts of side quests. You do have an overarching story, but you can play for 100 hours without doing much to advance the main storyline along.
Yep.
It's a world in a post-apocalyptic...
It's sandbox.
Yeah, in a post-apocalyptic world, the sandbox game.
Around a certain big city and whatnot. And so,
right, so
Vegas,
like...
3 was D.C., I think.
Right.
And Las Vegas obviously was Las Vegas or New Vegas, and then Fallout 4 was Boston.
Exactly, and you can do. And if you want, like in Fallout 3, you have an option. You find your hometown, right? You know, everyone knows that in the main game, the hub world, like where's the main town? Oh, you're going to be spending a lot of time. You have a chance to nuke that town early in that game, and that has a consequence on all sorts of things that happen. for the rest of the game.
Just a quick shout out. Fallout 4 is on sale on Steam right now.
Yeah, don't buy it until April 25th, because that's when the new update. So even though there's the Game of the Year edition, they're adding a whole new downloadable content to it that comes out on the 25th. So make sure you
buy it. Okay, all I know is that they were doing a graphics upgrade, but yeah. All
no, right. they're adding the Enclave, which is in Games 3 and in Vegas.
But you might want to get the Game of the Year edition cheap and then just buy that. Because it's normally a lot more than what they're selling it for, like $9.99 right now.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap. Yeah, and Fallout 4 by far is the best of the three, and all three of them are awesome that I've played: 3, Vegas, and Fallout 4. There's a little bias because obviously I'm very familiar with the Boston area because I grew up just outside the city.
And the whole series.
That game, I'm walking towns that I grew up in, basically, and it's kind of interesting to see it. And I went to school in one of them and all this other stuff. It's kind of funny. But either way, and Fallout 4, Mike, it's even different, is that it's similar to Far Cry 5, where you get hubs. You take over hubs throughout the whole Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and you make little bases, and then you can build up your bases and recruit people and all that other stuff. So it even expands from what you're familiar
with. Kind of cool.
Vegas 3. Yeah.
Did that come out after Fallout 76 or before?
That was one prior to 76. 76 okay. is the latest. Yep. But that was more of a multiplayer game. It doesn't have, to my knowledge, a standalone. While most games have a standalone where you play your own adventure, and then you can also log on and play the adventure with everybody else, like, you know, Warcraft or something. But Fallout 76 is similar to like Warcraft, where it's everybody. There is no side game, to my knowledge. If anybody says otherwise, they can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com and give us your opinions on 76, because I heard it had some bugs, but after the bugs were fixed, it was pretty good. But again, it's a multiplayer game, not a solo game. All right, so yeah, so that's the setup of the world. It's an alternate retro 1958 or something, and they have robots, but TVs and stuff are still, you know, black and white crapola, but they have robots and they have really cool skyscrapers and stuff and whatnot. And then they just, with a flash of a nuke, boom, they turn it into an apocalyptic world. And as Kevin mentioned, their normalcy ended prior to the hippies and the sexual revolution and all that stuff. And so it's 1950s feel with a retro futuristic in an apocalyptic world, if that makes any sense. At least that's the video games, and that's what they're doing here as well. All right, so where do we want to go now? What do we want to talk about now? We can talk about anything. About the first episode or how it works or the games or whatever. Where do you want to go? Anyone?
Well, I know Kevin already mentioned Kyle MacLachlan as part of the intro stuff. I thought it was fun seeing him because I hadn't checked to see who was in the cast or anything. I was just going in fairly blind with it. And to be able to see him in it, I was really happy. And I thought in the role that he had, he fit very nicely. I think the rest of the cast, from what we've seen in the first episode, they do such a good job. There isn't any characters that I dislike or are written poorly. It's just everyone seems to be on their A game, whatever role they happen to be in. And I just was very happy to see that, you know, as opposed to some of the other stuff we've come across in our reviews previously.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how they go, because in the game, as Mike mentioned, you can choose to create men or female characters in any ethnicity and all that stuff. The 10 times I've played, I've always played the as a woman character. And the thing is the fortunately they don't have the issues of sexual abuse or attacks that could occur in an apocalyptic world that we've seen in other films, whether it's A Boy and His Dog or
at least not yet.
Yeah, right. Or the Mel Gibson stuff, but they're not in the video game. So here. For the woman
by the Mel
out.
Gibson stuff, you're referring to Mad Max, not Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm talking about the Mad Max films.
Just checking with Mr. Gibson's lawyers.
Sure. No, that's fair. Yeah, no, to my knowledge, Mel Gibson has never done any sexual attacks on anybody. So what I meant was his films, the post-apocalypse films. So she goes out alone, and we'll get into some of that plot in a moment. And I'm not concerned about having that as a problem because they could have made it. They could have gone with a man, as we mentioned, because it goes back and forth. But they decided to go with a female, and the thing is, a lot of times with these characters that are females, they're like superhumans and stuff, and that kind of backfires a lot. It makes the shows a little silly. Here, I don't think they're going to go that route.
Well,
but no, they actually showed her getting trained throughout all these different fighting styles and stuff. So at least we have that. That's all they had to do besides grow food. So,
and I would not be shocked if she's a little bit more of a badass character by the end. But this is a plot is very much a role playing kind of game, and that your character has abilities that develop throughout the game. And I'm imagining, we're starting with her essentially as a level one character who's going to get much better as the series progresses. That's my guess. But I think, again, you can start. The way Fallout starts is you create your character. Fallout 3 starts, I think, with you being born, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
I think so,
And so it is something – so people can't even complain, that they cast a woman. But none of the characters feel, we've said this about some cases where it feels like characters had no place in the show. They had nothing to do, and it felt like they were there just because they wanted to get a specific box checked off. And I don't feel that way here. We really have three main characters, I think.
Yep.
That we're following, and they converge. They'll converge fairly quickly in the series. But it's not like they don't have the lead character, and her group of seven friends to make sure that they've checked off every possible demographic they possibly can to get everybody to watch the show. Like I said that with the character in Halo, that it felt like she was there just so there was an Asian character so that the Asian market would tune into the series. And she was a character who had nothing to do in the show, detracted
right,
from what the main storyline,
and
nothing like that seems to be going on. Even though...
And also, Mike, I mentioned also for that show that they race-swapped characters as well. Probably for the same reasons.
And I don't. And again, if they do it well, I personally don't mind that. But there are people who are just going to say, "Well, it stars a woman. I'm not watching." But there's that. There's legitimate grievances, and there's just blatant narrow-mindedness. And I think the characters fit in the role they have. Everyone has at the moment a place in this universe.
No one is being included
gratuitously.
Well, also the characters are generic characters that you create in the video game anyway as the lead. So basically the girl or woman, if you prefer, but she's fairly young and innocent and whatever, girl or woman, doesn't matter. She is probably the character that we would have created in the game as the lead character. And then the guy that's part of the Brotherhood of Steel is one of the characters that she would hook up with as a partner, because you could partner up with, at least in Fallout 4, with various characters throughout. And the whole...
Yeah, that happens in 3 Vegas, too, I think, where you get one sidekick. You get one at a time.
Really cracked me up, the cousin fucking stuff they were talking about. Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, that's that was a good levity, I felt.
Yeah, they did a good job of it.
It all makes sense, but it makes all sense, too.
Oh, yeah. They only have so many people in there. It's kind of hard.
And sometimes your cousin's hot.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was going to say that Walton Goggins was awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's always good at anything that he's in, and his role will be pretty solid, I think, in this show as well.
It should be, and he's a guy that I always like to see. Now, he has been in shows like The Shield and Justified.
Sons of Anarchy. And he was in The Fat Man, the movie. He was the best.
He was the Fat Man, right, in that movie. Yeah. But he's a guy that often plays, like, your heavy. He plays your bad guy. And, you know, if you think that he always kind of plays the same part. And I really recommend seeing him in the final season of Sons of Anarchy, because he is playing way against type. Yeah.
He's playing an anti-hero, it looks like.
Yes. We'll see. He's playing a ghoul in this. I don't think there's any secret. He's featured very heavily in all the trailers for the show. So I don't think I'm spoiling anything here.
Again, it doesn't matter if you spoil anything, because again, we're assuming everybody who's listening to this podcast is a fan of the show or is watching the show.
Right. So, but he's really good. But I do like that the fact that, again, it's not necessary, but if you're trying to take what works in the game and bring it into a show. And so they don't do, like, start with the main character at the beginning of life. They do start in the vault. And the whole idea of the vault is that they are very 50s style. They are your bomb shelters, more or less. But they're like industrial scale bomb shelters. And I don't know how much you're going to get into this in the series, but each vault is identified by a number, and everybody wears these blue and gold jumpsuits and the number of the vault on the back. And you find, as you go through the game, each vault was a little bit of an experiment. They were used for a different purpose. So our main character, and I'm blanking on what the main character's name is.
Do you remember? You mean in this show here?
In the show.
Yeah. It's
Lucy, isn't it?
Lucy.
So Lucy is in Vault 33, and those in Vault 33, that is a farming vault where they grow corn. And that's mostly what they do. It's very peaceful, middle-class 1950s suburban existence, as much as you can in an underground shelter. There are others that I am in the games where there are some horrific experiments being done on people, or things just have gone horribly wrong. I know there's some online database of all the vaults that they've covered in the games and what exactly was being done in them. But
Mike, what's the name of that company in the Alien franchise?
Weyland-Yutani.
Right. So Weyland-Yutani is basically
Vault Tech in here.
Vault Tech in this show here, exactly. So
Right. Basically
they're a company that's supposed to be doing good, and what they're really doing is doing bad stuff. And
yes.
So yeah. And they're a huge corporation. And so basically these vaults were created as bomb shelters. People can, you know, either be volunteer and get free membership in them, or you can pay and get membership in them if there's ever a nuclear fallout. And so the fallout happens, and all these people flee to the vaults, and only the people who have been been given the put their name on the list, whether they were volunteered and won a contest or whether they paid money to do so. They all get to go in. They have cryo chambers where they can freeze people, and then eventually everybody wakes up like 10 years later or whatever, and they have a society under there. But as Mike mentioned, a number of them still nefarious because they have bad people that work for the company that are still following protocol, which is to do experiments. And when we say experiments, we're not necessarily talking about concentration camp victims from World War II. We're talking about giving poisonous food to one group, and another group gets healthy food, and you know, basically like treating people like hamsters more than mass murdering people.
So it reflects some of the scientific testing that had happened in the 50s with people.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Excellent point. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so that's what happened. So this vault here seems like it's vault for 33 seems like it was not one of those vaults.
It's as normal as we're going to possibly get. You start off with, right?
Yeah.
Which tends to be what most of the vaults are when you again start the game off, because you start in a simple, like most video games, you are a normal person who's rushed into an adventure, and you have to learn to be better.
Yeah,
right. Now, what were you saying, Sean?
The other thing, sorry, I meant I wasn't meaning to change topics, but the sequence, like when I mentioned about the special effects being so good, the sequence when they nuke the city, and it's like in the background, and meanwhile there's the party, and everyone's just like da 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 da. It just like I thought it was done so well, and later on when we get to see the T-60s and the airships, like.
Yep.
I thought they did such a good job. Nothing looked out of place or looked CGI. It all just flowed within the universe they created.
Yeah.
Don't bother running if it's bigger than your thumb.
Yeah.
And they still
is it my
ran.
Thumb or your thumb?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. They still ran.
The special effects were absolutely fantastic, yeah.
They were. Yeah.
And if you want to see that stuff, Fallout 4 has the giant zeppelins, which are pretty awesome.
I figure we're going to get more background too on him and what happened and how he got to where he is, because he's still alive.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, and this may be a spoiler for you, Kevin, is that people there's three types of people: the survivors out in the wasteland and their ancestors, and out of those survivors in the wasteland and their ancestors, some of them turn into super mutants, which we haven't seen yet. And then there are survivors who become ghouls, and these people are actually survivors from day one. So they're 270-something years old, and something with the nuclear blast turned them into rotting corpses, so they call them ghouls.
And then there's a serum they have to take, right?
But they survive. They don't. Their life expectancy continues. However, there's two sets of ghouls in the Fallout world. There's the ones that are like the Walter Goggins character, Cooper Howard, and there's the ones that have gone basically
feral. Yeah.
Feral, yeah. Their brains have rotted away, and they become attack everything and anything.
So they're like zombies.
They're like fast zombies. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. So, and then there's even another group which is of non-human creatures, which are at least in game four, which is the Institute, and they are robots and androids and whatnot. So there's regular robots that look like robots, that, you know, like C-3PO, that are bad. And then there's robots that look like humans. And they're called, what are they called? Replicants, maybe?
That's Blade like, Runner.
Yeah, they're not called replicants then. They're called, I don't even remember. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, so there's a bunch of different groups in the games, and I'm assuming we're going to see a bunch of them as well. And we'll also see robots from the 1950s that survive as well, which are and I forgot what they call them too. And they're floating robots that used to help around the house do chores, and some of them are good, and some of them have gone insane.
And I was going to say too, because I think we had talked about the time. So they say when we're watching it, it's 219 years after everything got nuked.
Right. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. Like for Fallout 4, you are a survivor that was frozen, and you wake up 217 years later or whatever it is. And so you have seen the world before the destruction, like the ghouls have that haven't gone feral.
Yeah.
But in, like Mike said, Fallout 3, you're born in the vault just like the girl in this movie, I mean, this TV show is as well. And so you've never seen the world before.
Yeah.
So where do we want to go? Kevin, what about you? You haven't said anything recently. Where do you want to go?
I'm just listening in and not interrupting. I don't know. I'm just commenting when I can on this one. I'm trying to absorb everything. I mean, when we first, you kind of knew something was up when during the wedding scene, the people that were coming over with the 32, the what do they call it, the Vault 32 or Section 32?
Yeah, Vault 32, Vault 32. Is that one, yeah.
They weren't particularly clean-shaven. They looked a little scruffy. You just kind of wonder.
Husband had scars.
Right.
Nice, married had scars.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, not only that, but like, you know, after... You know, after they have sex, he goes to the window and wipes himself off on the curtains, and she kind of
looks funny.
She kind of noticed, like, what is he doing? But but it was the brother. You know, he's the one who kind of noticed that. You know, everything there is. He found the corpse and everything, and
the husband, I don't think ever, or fiance, whatever, doesn't actually speak to her. At the start of the show, like, you know, he just kind of looks at her.
I think he spoke a little, like one or two words, or like a two-word sentence or something.
Yeah, because they ask him about the sperm count, what a sperm count is when they're having dinner.
Right,
yeah.
And
how was your sperm count?
Yeah, and he was confused. He didn't know what she was talking about.
Right, well,
and
because
he,
the whole thing
he
is
he would
have
known if he wasn't a raider, but anyway, go on, Mike.
Well, right, so the whole point is that she's having trouble finding her place in their society. She's supposed to be a breeder, and so she's being married off. They do an exchange where they're going to have her married off to somebody from Vault 32.
Well,
in exchange, they're giving food to the people to Vault 32.
But, Mike, you made it sound negative. I mean, everybody there is a breeder, in a sense.
Right, right.
But she's trying to find a significant other, and she can't in her own vault because they're all cousins.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
And if you notice, a lot of the women, like when she was preparing for, you know, she's going through her daily thing, like teaching students and all that, over half the women in there were already pregnant.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, a lot of the women in there were pregnant. And so she was, I don't know if she was like looking at them thinking, oh, I wish that will be me someday, or it's just, that's just what happens. And she goes
right
to the board. Go on.
I was just going to say that, but I just want everybody to understand who's listening that this isn't trying to say that typical gender roles are negative at all. What it is it's a post-apocalyptic world, and everybody understands that the only way they're going to survive is to have children and
to
repopulate
and to marry off. So
their goal is to repopulate the world.
Yeah.
The thing is that it's not that you know, a woman's place was just to breed. I mean, the women there were working just as hard as the men. And the women were...
Men don't come with uteruses.
Right, exactly. And so they realized, okay, this is our duty. We have to breed. We have to produce offspring in order for the human race to survive. You know, there is nothing sexist about this. There is nothing sexist about this. And
I don't think anybody's saying that. So
okay,
I don't think we need to be defensive about this.
Right. And also, it's as important to have children and to have couples have children as it is to grow all that food and and all that other stuff. And so it's pretty understandable that there's no. Like, yeah, so you're right, Mike. We don't have to be defensive.
Right. One of the mission, again, the mission for the official mission of the vault was to go into hiding, wait for the radiation to die down, grow food, develop technology, and be able to repopulate the Earth once the surface was safe to settle. And so... And again, it's something that happened in the 50s or late 60s, or early 60s. So yes, there is going to be something of that vibe to those communities, right? Because that are just trying to preserve the world as it was when they went away into hiding.
Right. Well, it's interesting because at the same time, they're all down below there and they're concerned about radiation levels. But then you have the people above, not just the Raiders, but you have those, was it the Brotherhood of Steel? I mean, they seem to be doing pretty well without radiation troubles. And you have those guys that look like they're cowboys digging. I mean, they look like they're in an Old West horror movie digging up a corpse to, you know, a zombie just to get them to do a job. And I'm sitting there looking at this saying, well, if these guys seem to be doing all right, then why are these people still below? That was a question that came to my mind while I was watching this.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's more than OCD. It's more of the fact that like in Fallout 4, there's this, I forget the vault that she finds, I can't remember, your character finds it. I say she because I played it as a woman character. But your character finds this other vault, and you have to go there. They don't trust you at first because they're worried that you're going to be either related to the Raiders and invade, or you're going to bring in radiation and all that other crap. And anything that's outside of the vault has a certain level of radiation in it. And so the people who've never had to experience it and are waiting for it to go away are more apt to have quote unquote OCD and not want to associate with those folks, except to maybe trade every so often for things that may be needed. And any food that's grown outside will give you radiation, at least in the game. Your radiation.
You need Rataway.
Yeah, you need Rataway.
Yeah, Rataway.
and so, it's more like that, Kevin. And that's what you'll probably learn as the series goes.
If you were born into this world, your best bet to survive and have a happy life is probably being born into something like Vault 33.
Yeah.
But the vault would be, if you were to say, well, if I had a choice to be born in a vault or be born in the outside world, the vault would be a really crack throw, because you could end up in something far worse than anything you could imagine, or you could end up in something far better than anything you could imagine. So if you couldn't pick your vault, it would really be a throw of the dice. Whereas if you were born on the outside, it's a rough world. It's irradiated. It's filled with monsters and mutants. And your life expectancy would still probably be very short. So yeah, it is a terrible, terrible world to live in.
Yeah, that is true. Yep.
Which is the whole reason why the Raiders break into Vault 32.
Right. And the
and
Raiders
then Vault
are,
33.
The Raiders are one of the big antagonists that you fight in all the games. They're basically just evil group band, robber bands that go around and pillage. But that's a really good question or point to bring up, Kevin, because you're right. How can something like the Brotherhood of Steel be this successful outside versus those in the inside and whatnot? But you learn, at least through the games and stuff, that a lot of the Brotherhood of the Steel are people who have collected the technology and technical documents and whatnot that have been left over, and how they use Radaway, which is some sort of medicine that immediately removes all radiation poison for you. And as long as they have that, they can survive, at least in the games.
That helps.
Yeah. So that is interesting, though, too, because for someone that hasn't played the games, you're learning these things slowly, and it'll be curious to see how it goes through the games. I mean, you know, each episode. And it appears that you, Sean, already knew about Radaway, probably because you've started watching the show in advance. So, yeah. All right, so let's talk about the three main characters. So we talked a little bit about the ghoul, which is Walter Goggins' character. We talked a little bit about the Lucy.
Lucy. Yeah. So now it's Maximus.
Yeah, and we talked a little about him too, but not as much. So yeah, let's talk about.
Oh, by the way, before I just want to throw out there, Lucy. If viewers are not aware, the actress, I'm blanking on her name at the moment. Lucy.
Ella Purnell.
Ella Purnell is one of the lead characters in the TV show Yellow Jackets, which is on Paramount Plus, and a show I definitely recommend.
It's now on Paramount Plus. Actually, I could. Yeah, you have to pay an extra money though because it's part of the show. Showtime? No, what is it part of? Yeah, Showtime.
It was Showtime Paramount Plus, which is all like one thing now to try to shore up the streaming service. I'm not sure how it actually works. We were subscribing to Paramount Plus, and then suddenly we got the Showtime with it.
In that show, does she have her real accent, or is she doing the fake American accent?
Fake American. She's an American girl in the show.
Okay, gotcha. I wasn't sure if Yellow Jackets was actually an English program or not. Okay.
No.
It was also in Miss Pellegrine, whatever it was. It was a movie based off of a book. I think she was the I don't know if it, I'm trying to remember the, it was like one of those long titles, like Miss Pellegrine's School for Gifted Children. It was children that like lived in a 24, 48 hour time period repeatedly. Cause that's like, they all had their gifts, and I think she played the love interest of one of the other main characters, and she was the one that she had to walk around with like chains or whatever around her, like heavy shoes on her feet, so she didn't float up and float away.
Okay.
She also played the daughter of Dave Bautista in Army of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I saw her from. Yep.
So the point being, though, that there is a hell of a cast. So moving on to Maximus.
Yeah, let's do that. He's probably the unknown actor of the punch.
At least to me.
Yeah. He doesn't. I don't even think he has much of a IMDb. But his name is where the hell is it? I'm going to go back a little bit because I went to Miss Pellegrini, the movie. His name is Aaron Modin, and he plays Maximus, and he's a squire or a regular, at least at the very beginning, of Brotherhood of Steel, which is this paramilitary organization that is very much into technology, and their goal is I don't know really what their goal is, even in the video games, but they try to make a life of their own through technology, and they'll wipe out and they want to wipe out like the super mutants and ghouls and stuff because they call it, think they're
aberrations, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're trying to basically restore order to the world by force. They model themselves after ancient knights, but they're not necessarily living up to their own standards.
That's for sure.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Because, again, the standards they live up to is their human standards. And for every good one, there is going to be some sociopath that's in the group as well. So it's basically a small cross-section of society. So you have your good people, and then one in every 14 is a scumbag. And they, yeah. And so they're very also loose too with their crimes, because again, a lot of the people out in the world they consider garbage. Like the Raiders are obviously garbage, but they may mistake someone that isn't a Raider as a Raider and wipe them out too. And so yeah, so they have some issues.
It kind of reminded me, if anybody remembers in the old days, the Riss RPG series, where it was another cataclysm thing. And they reminded me of the Coalition, or the Heroes of Humanity, I think is what they were called, in that they're using the tech and trying to bring back that idea. And it was just kind of a vibe I got from, and I thought it was done very well. Like, again, just across the board for what they're giving us and what they're creating for us. So,
yeah. Yep. And they are pretty cool in the video game too, especially Fallout 4. Again, I'm mostly familiar with Fallout 4 because I haven't played the other games for like 8 years because they're that old now. But Fallout 4 I've consistently had installed on the latest generations of game station boxes. So that's the one I'm most familiar with. So basically he is recruited to become a scribe, which is like
squire. Yeah,
squire. Okay, which is I don't even know what they are, because in the video game Fallout 4 there's they're called scribes, and then you have your knights, but I assume squire is
serves the knights.
Yeah, yeah. So they must be the same thing as a scribe. They call them scribe in Fallout 4. Yeah. And
just going to watch the actual medieval and.
Oh yeah, that's right. Where they got the. You're right. Squire for well knight, done. So. Yeah. I wonder why. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So squire to knight, and then for whatever reason in the game, Fallout 4, it's scribe to knight.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird, actually. So that's what he is. And they're going out to go after a guy from this shady organization called the Enclave, which I used to be familiar with, but I haven't played the older games for a while. But they're kind of shady, similar to the Brotherhood of Steel.
So everyone's shady.
yeah. And they want to get the guy. I don't know if they want to kill him or they want to kidnap him, but they'll do either, at least in the games, because they'll eliminate bad influences, but they'll also try to, you know, let's grab all those Nazi scientists and have them on our side before the Soviets get them, you know, that type of thing too.
Yeah.
So the Halo game, not the Halo, sorry, the Fallout games have a few iconic images, and one of them is the Fallout Boy. What?
Oh, the Pip-Boy.
The Pip-Boy.
Right. And the opening sequence, which the Pip-Boy is sort of this, like a Bob Big Boy kind of thing, like this cartoonish mascot for the vault, who's giving you the thumbs up.
So that's Vault Boy.
Which, yeah,
the
that's
Pip Boy is
oh, that's Vault Boy. No, the Pip Boy is the thing.
The text thing.
Right,
yeah.
The Vault Boy, little, thank you. Yeah. So, and then there's but one of the other images that you see in a lot of the advertising is the Brotherhood and their armor.
Yeah.
And which is this sort of retro.
But that armor was even before the war. So they created their own, or they grabbed some. But so it isn't specifically really, even though this episode makes it look like it's a Brotherhood of Steel thing, it isn't.
I don't know what they're thinking, having these guys in armor running around through the show. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, these armor, it's you know what it is? It's similar to Japanese anime where they're
mech suits, right?
Yeah, they're mech suits, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would you do that with your TV show? You can't see the characters' faces.
Yeah.
So they get attacked. Until they get attacked, and at some point they have to take that shit off.
Well, and the thing is that the suits, I don't know if they were computer graphic or otherwise, but they were really good.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. And they showed them a lot, too. It wasn't like...
Yes.
They did.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Given the way that they move, and the like, it feels like that somebody in a suit.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of an awkwardness to it. Like, you know, so the proportions never are quite right because you're building it around a human body. So either if this is CGI, they've done a really great job, but it's like, so like the thighs are a little too close together, you know, because right. You can't widen the person's hips.
Yep.
And they can't, and the person in the armor can't waddle the entire time because that would just look silly. So the suit looks just ill-fitting enough that I believe that it's a real suit that they probably made out of foam or fiberglass or something. Only they had done that for some other TV series that I can't imagine.
I wonder, eh?
So anyway, it was just a thought. It was just that's where that's coming from. Is again like the squire, the medieval knights, and as you'll learn, and I don't think this surprised anyone, it's all kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no one in this universe that really is as altruistic as they seem, with the possible exception of your character, depending on how you play them.
Yeah.
But everybody has an angle, right? Everyone's playing some angle.
Yeah, that is true. Yep. So we'll figure out where the character's going. We kind of get an idea that Maximus is, and the Brotherhood of Steel has... Brotherhood of Steel has its issues, and the show shows it.
Because they have to bully him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right at the start.
Yeah. And Maximus is there, but they also try to talk about how, you know, the people fit in and they feel good and about it because it's...
Yeah.
You know, it's better than living out in the shithole of the...
Right,
the,
and...
The wasteland. But,
and I think people do generally like having a role, having a purpose in life and knowing where they fit in and what to do. And that's how like a lot of these organizations grab people is they say, hey, we'll give you a purpose. And nobody's going to college. You know, there's no local job opening up.
Yeah.
It's all scavenging. If you're lucky, you're in some, you know, seedy town where you maybe you're, selling scraps and stuff like that. But it's, yeah, it's a thing that offers people a place and a purpose. And for a lot of people, and especially for a lot of young men, that is something very appealing. And that's what the Brotherhood does. And that's how they grab a hold of people.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. But I mean, it's just like you're saying, like every sec, like even the vaults, you know, like in the game, right? It's all, you know, almost tribalism for each vault based on whatever their testing situation is, right? So they, to themselves, are doing the right thing, but that right thing may be different to someone who is a victim of their right thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Generally, you could look at some of the vaults are like, they're like mini cities, states, and some of them cooperate, some don't. Some of them are completely corrupt, and some of them are fake because of the experiments and weren't really there to save humanity. But generally, in this case here, this vault 33, is legit. Now, whether 32 was legit or not, I wasn't quite sure, because it seems like they may have known about 32 for a while and maybe even traded with them at times, but maybe they didn't know too much about them because they fell for the Raiders. I remember what it was, is that, oh, we're sorry that you're, yeah. So they were familiar with 32, but not familiar with them enough in the sense that they didn't deal with them all the time. So when 32
the Raiders
came
impersonate
to
them.
Right, and they said, oh, where's your other leader? And they said, oh, he died, and I'm here to take his place or something like that is what she said. And they said, oh, we're sorry to hear that. And so that's how they got through without being fooled, you know, without being, not fooled, but being...
Which tells you that they know enough to know who the leader of Vault 32 was, but not who the second-in-command was.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, so... let's see, what else? What else did we want to talk about? Where else did we want to go? Anything we wanted to talk about, bring up.
Well, I'm curious what you think. So with this Maximus in the story, he's got a friend who is selected to be a squire for Titus. And on like the big day, on the morning that they're supposed to go, they put their boot on and somebody's put a razor into their boot and they slice up their foot.
Yeah, that was harsh.
was that or was that not Maximus?
I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
Because they certainly interrogate him.
Yeah, well, they treat him like it is, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just curious. I don't know how to read it myself. I mean, usually on something like this, there's a sign.
They play it like pretty straight to the vest, or close to the vest in that regard.
Yeah, and he does very much, because on the one hand, he acts in a way like he doesn't know how to play it, but it can be seen as, well, on the one hand, he feels bad for his friend. On the other hand, it's his chance, and maybe he's feeling guilty over
and
that.
He honestly says that. He says, didn't do it, but it isn't that I didn't want it to happen.
Right.
In regard
That's
to being
why
able to,
I don't think he did it.
Yeah. And then just his emotional response too, like when they're grilling him of like what's your plea or what are you going to say in your defense? And he's the emotion that he emits as he's telling like his position about learning about truth and that you've given me truth, you know, the kind of thing. And like, cause they ask him like, why were you in the Brotherhood in the first place? To hurt the people who hurt the people I cared about. He's not giving like some, you know, wonderful, chivalrous answer. It's the truth that he wants to hurt the people who hurt him.
Right. And
and it's hard for him to do that if he's just cleaning toilets.
Mike, your point though too is it kind of reminded me after you said it. Like the novel, A Separate Piece, where, you know, Gene and Finney, I don't know if anybody's read that novel. I had to read it in high school.
Long time ago.
Where Gene and Finney are friends, and Finney and Gene are on a tree branch, and the branch shakes, and Finney falls and breaks his leg. Mm-hmm. And we don't know, the narrator, Gene, we don't know if the branch...
In his jealousy, he did it, or...
Yeah, exactly. So that's the question here is, was he jealous or not? And I didn't get that at first, but now when I'm thinking about it, maybe you're right. Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he was jealous, but he was also happy for one of the only people I think he can call his friend.
Yeah.
You know, and so I personally don't think he did it. I mean, he's kind of, he's nervous because, I mean, he's got this big guy in armor behind him, you know, and so he's nervous about it. But at the same time, he stayed constant. And even when his friend asked, you know, so some people think you did it. And he even said, he kind of had it. He was half kidding, kind of trying to gauge his reaction. And because I think he was trying to figure out if he actually did, but there was no actual hint that, but he never really hinted back that he did. He just,
well, if he did it, he got away with it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I have a feeling we'll find out something more definitive after the season is over, which technically the season is over, but I mean, by the time we get through season 8, since all the episodes are out there, you're trying not to watch, if you haven't binge watched them all and you're doing it like at a week by week thing or doing it slowly, really avoid any news articles about it.
Oh yeah.
Because it's bad enough. I know there's even like YouTube channels I sometimes watch. They'll just, even though they'll give you a spoiler warning in the beginning of the video, they'll have the spoiler in the title of the video.
In the title, yeah.
And, or they'll do something like, why Maximus did what he did. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the title if he didn't do something bad.
Even a better reason to not binge it is because you can watch it weekly and follow us with the podcast. But Mike, I would hope, and again, this is Jonathan Nolan, so I doubt they're going to screw it up that bad, unless they're intentionally going to make Maximus a villain by the end of the season, because if we find out that he did it, it's kind of hard to like him as a protagonist, unless they're intentionally going to lead him into a villainous role.
Well, there are two options there. One is that they could be trying to groom him into a villain. Let me repeat that. There are two options if he did it. One is that he's going to be a villain, and they're going to show how he turns into a heavy in the series, maybe for season 2 or something, or for the end of this season. Or they will give him some sort of a redemption arc, where he's going to be looking for forgiveness, you know, for the bad that he did. So those are, I think, the two basic ideas.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So we'll find out. But for either way, whatever misfortune that happened to the friend, no matter how it happened and who did it, he was next in line, he takes the place, basically. They obviously had that there for a reason, because, again, they could have just had him be recruited and stopped the show that way. But they wanted this side story, so maybe it was because they wanted us to think he did it. Maybe they wanted us to think that he just wasn't as qualified. And so if he does mishaps later in the show, it makes more sense because he was the backup. But they did it intentionally for some reason, because they didn't have to if they didn't feel it was important for his backstory.
I think we're definitely supposed to get the idea that he is just not the best squire.
That's what I was getting.
The best squire material. So, and again, we've seen that too, right? Where the guy who is full of himself and believes they're entitled to get a thing, but they're just not that good.
Yeah.
Right. You know, just turns into the villain of the show or the movie or what have you, because of their ego and their jealousy and their lack of humility, their inability to admit that they suck.
Indeed. Let's see. What else we want to talk about? Where do we want to go? Anything that we want to bring up related to the first episode?
I was just going to say that, again, to reiterate, that what a great start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
there wasn't a moment that I was watching the clock on this episode.
Well, and we get a good mystery of a nice hook of the woman knowing who she is and who her father is. So that is like a going to be a big mystery that we learn more about as she moves through the world.
I got to say, for reasons that you can probably figure out, Dune has been on my mind. And because Dune had been on my mind, Kyle MacLachlan's been on my mind. And I was kind of shocked because at first I didn't even recognize Kyle MacLachlan. And part of it because his hair was slicked back. And Kyle MacLachlan has always had, you know, this jet black hair parted to the side. It's part of his standard look in almost everything he's ever done, whether it's Dune or Blue Velvet or Twin Peaks or what have you. But yeah, it's just, Dune was his first film, period, right? And now we're seeing him playing, you know, the older dad, and it's just to get back to the theme, man, I'm feeling old. Is that recurring theme of the podcast?
You should feel that way.
Yeah, I should, because you know why? Because I'm fucking old. I did like the action, right? Some of the kills in that first episode were great.
Man, that chick getting that thing in her eye was just horrific, and she's still alive. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it was more violent than I expected, actually. But it wasn't too over the top. So I went with it and just thought it was... They did a nice balance in, like, everything that they added in that first episode.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I liked was her cousin, brother, or brother.
The brother,
her brother is this tiny, scrawny little guy. She's like, don't you try to follow me. It's like, fuck that. I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, that's not the kind of guy I am. And again, because of the way these things work, a lot of times a show like that would try to show, no, just because you're small doesn't mean you have to be afraid. You can do it too. You know, you can be a badass. And he's like, nope, I'm going to fit the stereotype and I'm going to be the little Weasley character. No offense to the actor. But I got a kick out of that, and it avoided that trope, so that way the character could go wander out.
Isn't he also the one that brings up they're not going to give up power, so they're not going to look for our dad? I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing his own way in that.
And he's smart. He's smart. He knows that they're not going to put any effort into that because they've got the power now. They like it.
Right. Right, Joe Biden disappeared. Kamala Harris isn't putting out the Secret Service to find where he went. Which is just that's the idea, you know.
Now, let's see. When she, you know, it was interesting because I wasn't sure at what points they were going to end the episode because, like, when she walks out of the vault, I thought they were going to end right there, and then. When she walks out, they go back to the people that let her out, and they go, yeah, that didn't work. I guess she's going out anyway. And then they cut to the other characters. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It was like, oh, there's even more. I thought that was the end of the episode. And it appears that they are going to focus on the other two characters as much as her. But eventually I think they're all going to get together at some point.
Well, the ghoul sequence was fun, too.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the ghoul sequence at the end because again, that wasn't it felt I don't know it was just different. Yeah, I like Kevin,
nice.
You said
it was a nice little
old fashioned horror film from the westerns or something.
It was a nice little nod to Justified because the main leader of that group that's digging him up was in Justified with it.
Yeah, that's fun.
By the way, it's good. Speaking of, like, I meant to go back to this, like little connections between with the prologue. The ghoul, I don't remember what his name is, the Walton Goggins character, he's a cowboy, right? And he's doing a kid birthday party and he's doing, like lasso tricks. And if you notice, he's dressed the colors he's wearing are the vault colors.
Yeah.
And then later on, when they're in the vault and you're in the cornfield, Now, the cornfield is just in a giant storage room.
Yeah.
But they're using a film projector
yeah.
to
right.
project onto the wall the image of a blue sky and a background to make it look like they're in Kansas. And someone shoots the projector, and the film catches on fire, and it basically just recreates the apocalyptic sky.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot too. So like just the little echo between those scenes.
A lot of good attention to detail.
Hey, when the people in Hollywood or wherever in the entertainment business are on their game, right? When they actually give a shit and know what they're doing, they really can do some good stuff. And I wish some of the other shows that we watch put this kind of care and attention to detail into it. I will tell you, this is the most excited I've been for a new show in a while. There's a lot of them that are like, meh. Or, well, you're watching this, you got the old, no, you got to give it like it's like the first 17 episodes drag. But once you get into the middle of episode of season four, it's freaking fantastic. And I was like, all right, this is one that if I had had the time, I probably would have like just rewatched immediately. I don't have the time, but if I did, I would have. And I can't tell you the last time I really wanted to rewatch like an episode of TV right after watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say it's exactly what you said, Mike. And the reason I'll even say it's maybe as good as something I've seen, not including One Piece, because that was that's a different show altogether. But since Game of Thrones, and I'm talking about the original Game of Thrones, not the new one, and why I think it's better than the new one is because I like the characters. I can get behind these characters. And so I'm excited for the universe. I'm excited for how well it's following the games. I'm excited for the special effects, and I'm excited that the characters that we have, especially Lucy and the ghoul, are two characters that I can follow and actually like. And I don't think they're going to screw them up either, because again, it's Jonathan Nolan. It shows you the talent between A-list and B and C list.
You know, you see him and his wife, what they can do, and then what our Halo showrunners could do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because if you gave Halo to Jonathan Nolan,
oh god, it would be a much different thing.
Season one would not have been screwed up. It would have been awesome.
But I'll also point out Jonathan Nolan.
I said season one, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, Jonathan Nolan, you know, probably got a little bit too up his own ass with, like, Westworld.
Yeah.
That's why I said season one, right?
So, yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm not watching season one of Fallout going, man, it sucks, this is going to start to be a shitty show in two or three seasons. Because it's a very simple show, right? It's not deeply philosophical the way Westworld was kind of at the outset. Not in the same way. It's not dealing with big stories as to what is consciousness and which person of interest also.
What's reality? Yeah.
What's real? What isn't real?
But it's much different now they have.
Right. You know, and there's nothing wrong with those kind of shows. Don't get me wrong, but you have to. But this is not a show like Lost, right? Where you need a big end game, and you, if you don't stick the landing, the whole thing's going to fall apart. It's just like with Halo. I don't know. I don't know if it's the creators are not talented, if they were not experienced, or if this is just not where their heart was. Right? This is not what they wanted to do. In this case, I think this is clearly something the creators have a passion for, that they have a love of this game. Like we talked about Last of Us, where the guy who made the show clearly wasn't kind of not a fan of the series. He was not a fan of video games. He would deliberately try to distance the show from the video gamey aspects of The Last of Us, which, again, there are people who love the show. And if they love the show, that's fine. But if you're tuning in hoping to see some of those video gamey aspects, they were absent. You know, you're
What's
basically
weird is
watching
the Chernobyl series, and that was phenomenal.
So oh, yes.
I was, and he was involved with The Watchmen, too. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm pretty sure he was, or maybe no, he wasn't, sorry. But Chernobyl was fantastic. And I expected or hoped that it would be the same thing, right? And it just, you can slip up.
But you know what they don't have in Chernobyl? They don't have people running and jumping and shooting zombies.
That's true.
And there's no action element. And and again, it's framing expectations. That's kind of what I went into watching Last of Us to get, and that is not what it delivered. And I will grant that there's a lot of things they did well in the show. It just did not give me what I was hoping to get. And if you love the show, great. It just it wasn't quite clicking for me. Here, as a fan of the Fallout franchise, it's very much giving me what I want while I think building a good show around it. I think the performances are good. I think the writing is witty. The dialogue is, you know, is sprightly. They got the score. They immerse you in this world, and they do it in a way that I don't think a new viewer is going to be confused by. And they just lay it all out. We're still trying to figure shit out with the Halo season series, and it's still two seasons in. Like, you know, why are they doing this? Who are these people? Why can't they just do that? Why? And it's like, it's where they're bungling the mythology, and they're bungling all this other stuff and not making character motivations clear. And, you know, here it's very obvious. Oh, I want to get my dad. And that's because Lucy is such a shallow character at first, right? She's very,
sheltered.
She's been sheltered, right? Exactly.
I don't like that term shallow. I like the term
naive.
I don't even know if she was naive. I think she was just living life. And, you know,
well, but
to be
no,
happy.
But she's living on a very surface level. Where what is her like? What's the first thing she asks her husband? What's your sperm count? Right, that's not the kind of thing that a normal human being just would come out and say. It's like
Maybe in that world.
Hmm. Now again, in that world, right? What are they going to talk about? You know, the baseball games. There probably isn't a lot to talk about. But she's very blunt and very straightforward. You know, she has a mission to accomplish, and that she's setting a forth on that mission. And I'm trying to think. You know, her experience in the quote unquote real world, is going to force her character to kind of grow and adapt and change her outlook in life, and maybe where she can finally go back home and be with her cousin. But by the way, speaking of, I'm very glad, unlike another show, they didn't get weird with us by trying to make it sound, oh, cousin fucking is perfectly fine. By which I'm referring to Monarch, where it felt like for the first 8 of the 9 episodes that they were trying to go, No, bigamy is cool. It's okay. It's perfectly normal. So, I'm like, before I think somebody just pulled their head out of their ass and they said, no, you can't do this. So I'd be curious to see what they do with the character. I have a feeling we're going to return to that vault before long. Because there are people, there are some names, not big names, but character actors, and obviously Kyle MacLachlan, but there's like, so the,
Uhura.
Who?
Right. Uhura, or whatever her name is from Star Trek. Wasn't that her?
No.
The woman.
She's dead.
Then who was that woman?
Michelle Nichols. I think that's Ruby Dee, who plays the, Blind Al in Deadpool.
No.
Well, you're talking about the older black woman.
You're right. She did pass away. I forgot about that.
But like, there's the guy.
And she was in the Stand too. She was Mother Abigail.
Right. There's the chubby black guy. Who's been like a character actor I've seen in a bunch of things lately. So I just wouldn't be surprised. And they make the big deal out of the cousin. I just have a feeling you're going to go back and wrap that up. Maybe she's going to come back with some girl for him or something.
It's Leslie Uggams. That's what it was.
Leslie Uggams, that's who it is.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so continue, Mike. I'm sorry about that. She's the same age, generally, though, too. Yeah, that's kind of age. Wow, she's 80 years old now, Leslie Uggams. Holy smokes. Time flies. Anyway, continue, Mike. Sorry.
Okay, that's who it is. So anyway, so I've been feeling we're going to return back, that she is going to come home at some point, whether it'll be this season or season 17, you know, but at some point they'll come back home, and I'll be curious to see, you know, what they do, and hopefully she will not decide that she really just wants to be with her cousin all along.
Mike, what's that movie that we both liked that we did a podcast on, and Barrett, you may have been on that episode too, I can't remember. The one about the boy who lives in the vault and he goes out to find his girlfriend that from prior of the space alien invasion. And you know what I'm talking about? And he finds the dog and he hangs out with the dog.
Boy and his dog?
No, it's a brand new film. It's like from like 4 or 5 years ago. It was really good.
Is that the one with Charlton Copley?
Maybe. How do you spell her name? And then I can look it up.
His name.
He's the guy who was in what are the
District 9.
District 9, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't District 9. I'm trying to remember now.
No. Oh, I know who you're talking about. No, it wasn't him. It was a young kid, an actor, and he has his dog that he meets. And Michael Rooker's in it, too.
The Canadian film, the one that was like the 80s kids movie throwback?
I don't remember being Canadian.
It was Canadian. I remember it was Canadian because, you know, it all has that
everything
on it.
Everything is Canadian. Everything's filmed in Canada.
Let me look up.
The bonuses. Love and Monsters. Love and Monsters.
Oh, Love and Monsters.
That's not
one.
Canadian.
Yeah, no, not that one. No, I was thinking about a different one. Yeah, Love and Monsters. That's one. Yeah, that was another really good one.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
We're going to see the vault again when he gets back. The question is who her love interest is going to be, and we don't know yet. And we're assuming that they're going to go that way. I don't know if they're going to have her chained and decide she doesn't want a love interest anymore, but maybe that's where they're going to go too. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it. I'm just hoping that they don't leave the cousin dangling for the, I mean, there's no reason they can't. I would just feel like that's going to be a thing that's dangling back there. It may just turn into a running joke.
Right.
Right. Of her cousin, a dark joke, kind of running joke about the cousin wanting to marry her.
Yeah, it could be one of that, make it a running joke. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Chet. Some actor named Dave Register. Plays that role. And it says recurring role, so I'm assuming he'll appear more. Let's see, anything else anybody want to bring up?
I'm good for now.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Can I put something that's other than the show, though, once we're done this?
Sure.
All right. Barrett, anything new? Are you all set, too?
I'm good.
All right. So we are good. So let's do a couple of things first. So, Sean, you wanted to bring up something that's non-related. What's up?
So I was watching X-Men 97, and it is so damn good. So damn good.
That's the new show,
the continuation
on Disney.
On Disney Plus, which is the continuation of the X-Men series that was on Fox in the mid-90s, sorry. And it's so good. Every episode is just so fun and enjoyable, and I'm really glad with being able to keep it in the same vein as the original series, but adding different touches that just make it better.
I will mostly agree with you, except in keeping with the tradition of 90s cartoons, they did have to have what I thought was the one shitty virtual reality episode.
The one game, the game episode was fun. I loved it because it reminded me of many games I played back in the 90s in the arcades.
I don't know. I just always hated the way that the 90s like tried to do the characters sucked into a video game, and like, you know, when you're dealing with 16-bit games, and like that's not what it would look. But anyway, yeah, I've never been a fan of those. I did not like that episode at all.
All right. Very well. All right. So we can give our final thoughts, but a couple of things first. Some house cleaning, which is Kevin. What was that podcast that me, you, Sean, and Barrett did last year about that Netflix television series? What was that all about?
One Piece. Boa Hancock and the One Piece.
That's right. And that podcast discusses weekly each episode of that television series, and you can find that wherever podcasts are found, as well as
the live action. I have to make clear that this is the live action show One Piece, not the Japanese animated one that I am still going through. And I think I'm at like episode 300 and something, and Boa Hancock doesn't even appear until 600 something. So I've got a ways to go.
Indeed, indeed. So you can check that podcast out that we do. Mike, what's that main podcast that we do? What's that all about? We mentioned a little bit earlier, but what's the main podcast?
The main podcast of the Dark Discussions News Network is the Dark Discussion podcast that mostly stars you and me and Eric and Barrett. At least that's the current iteration. We've been through a few over the years. Where we largely review new films, often obscure films, but not exclusively obscure films. What was the last one? The last one we did was Immaculate. The next one we're doing is The First Omen, but I repeat myself. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing next week.
Yeah, we'll probably maybe Civil War. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, we'll discuss with Eric and stuff when we record. So, yep, check that podcast out. Barrett, what's that other podcast that me and you do, and we bring in some other co-hosts every so often?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews, a general podcast where we discuss pretty much everything.
Yeah, we're looking at a possible revenge month. Remember, we were talking about that the other day. Four films that thrillers about revenge, Death Wish, and stuff like that.
Oh, I saw Death Wish. That was pretty good.
All right, you don't remember that conversation?
Where we're going to do revenge films?
Yeah, you remember?
I remember us talking about it, but
Yeah, we were thinking about it. Yeah, but then we got sidetracked with doing this podcast here and a couple other stuff. And we still have what's that?
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. That's it. Yeah, we got to get into that too. So that'll be.
I'm gonna have to watch that series again.
Yeah, well, you don't necessarily. You probably just wiki and reread about the episodes and stuff. But yeah,
whatever. But it's fun to rewatch it.
Yeah. That's fun true. Show.
It's a great show. Yeah.
And we're getting to the point where I rewatched it for the podcast, and then it like was getting to the point where I'm gonna have to rewatch it again, but it was too soon to want to rewatch it again, and now we've been so long enough I'm kind of wanting to go rewatch it again.
There you go. Yeah, so it may actually work out.
We'll get to review it before season two airs.
We're thinking we'll probably get it by sometime Q2 of 2024, so this quarter, so in the next 6 weeks or so, or 8 weeks or whatever. And we do have Cinema a la Carte, which is another podcast that me, Mike, and co-host Eric of the Dark Discussions podcast do, which talk about general films that we choose, each of us, randomly, what we want to talk about. And so we've done films like Scott Baker's Starlet, the Disney film or Pixar film. What the hell is that one called again, Mike?
Inside Out.
Yeah, Inside Out. We've done Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So we've done all sorts of stuff. Flash Gordon from 40 years ago now, that film. So we've done a lot of good films. And the next one is going to be a sports film that we're going to be talking about. And there's various other podcasts that we've done as well. The Game of Thrones podcast, Decimation of Dragons.
Which is coming up in June.
House of the Dragon, yeah. So with that, it's coming up again. We're going to be doing that podcast, so season two, people should start looking out for that as well. And then next week, we'll be back for this podcast here, which will be the week of the 21st of April, 2024. All right, so let's get into our final thoughts on this podcast here. So, make sure you email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com and put Fallout in the subject line and whatever you want to talk about, and we'll read your podcast on the podcast. I mean, your email on the podcast. So let's start with you, Mike. Your final thoughts on episode one of Fallout.
I think episode one was pitch perfect. If this wasn't, if this was an original property, I would be grooving on it. It's very stylish. It's very well executed. It's very sharp. It seems very smart so far. But then the fact that it is based on a property that I like very much, and they nail it so well, I'm just really enthusiastic about where this is going.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Kevin.
I went in blind, and I enjoyed it. And I look forward to watching season two.
All right, sounds good. In episode two, for that matter.
I'm sorry, I'm getting tired. Episode two, yes.
Yeah, and you're on a different time zone, and you're even getting tired. Let's go for you, Barry.
Yeah, I love this first episode. I'm hoping it stays as good. I think it will, the feeling I get from this first episode. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
All right, sounds good. And for me, I actually thought it was a great episode. Been disappointed with a lot of television shows that I've watched, and most of them are for the podcast. This is one of the, at least episode one it's been phenomenal. So I'm very happy, and I'm looking forward to see episode two next week. Because again, I can watch it right now, but I'm going to wait until we get close to recording. And let's go with you, Mr. Sean Fox.
It's fantastic. Love the first episode, love everything put into it, and so excited to talk about next week's episode. And in regards to season two that Kevin mentioned, I did check to see if it had been greenlit yet for season two.
Yeah,
they haven't officially greenlit it, but they've got permissions for filming in California. So
I already read that it was committed.
Oh, has it? Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, so I saw, it was like, I think I may have even posted it in one of our Facebook groups, but I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, it says here, Fallout TV Season 2, ? And let's see what it says. It says here, fans are blah, 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 blah. Although the official renewal, official renewal hasn't been announced yet. There are some intriguing hints and developments. Yeah, you're right. It was weird because I swore I have an article and I posted it that it had already been re-upped, but maybe that was fake news. They published it too quick. They spoke.
Yeah, because it sounds like the article I read is from Variety. I think it was. It was saying that they got permissions for filming in California, which is a sign.
Yeah.
That they're doing season two, because you wouldn't do it otherwise.
Yeah, well, yeah, but and this is it. See, they're already writing it. Here's an article from Games Raider. Fallout season two will feature some familiar locations and monsters, and then early game on MSN. Fallout season two expected release plot cast news. Show holding iconic stuff back for season two. So yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they haven't publicly said anything, but there's probably been leaks. Yeah, yeah, so it's kind of interesting.
Which is good news, because, damn,
yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, there's a lot of good stuff coming, too. Deathclaws, Nuka World, and all this other stuff they're talking about. All right, so that's our review on the first one. Episode one. Did they even name the episodes?
called The End.
That's right. It's called The End. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So there you go. Which is really the beginning. So that's all I got. So once again, we're podcast name is Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola, the podcast. Podcast for the Fallout television series on Amazon Prime based on Bethesda's video game series Fallout. What's that, Mike?
And let me just say one thing about the next episode. Something that will shock viewers of modern television. It actually advances the plot.
What?
No way.
Mike actually watched it on the screen. Yeah, and that episode is going to be called The Target and directed by Jonathan Nolan as well. And written by the two showrunners that he hired, Geneva Robertson-Dworet and Graham Wagner. So Jonathan Nolan directs the next two episodes, The Target and The Head. All right, that sounds good. Good news. Thanks, Mike. All right, so that's it. So I will let Barrett, why don't you lead us out?
Thanks for joining us on, what is the name of this now? Nuka Cola?
Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola.
Nuka Girl Says Drink Nuka Cola. Please join us next week for the next episode that we will review. Episode 2.
I know that I've lived a relatively comfortable life.
You need to go home. Vault dwellers are an endangered species. I do not think you would be willing to do what it takes to survive up here. If you insist on staying, then you will have to adapt.
So they say will be a lovely day. A bright new sun will suddenly break through. But I don't want to see tomorrow unless I see it with you.
And grabbed a moldy one.